There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Mark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 949, July 25th. 2022, Nasser.
Merci, monsieur. Max on top. No surprise. Two Mercedes drivers on the podium. Big surprise. And off track, we have Willy Weber. He is grilling. We shall explain gladly. Back to you, sir.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Ferrari simply falling apart. Max says, thank you very much. Is Leclerc not what he seems? And Fernando keeps plowing along like an old river. And just a reminder, we need your contributions to keep this program on the servers. Just click on the F1 Weekly support tab. You know, you'll want to. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I'm doing very good, sir. Thank you. I'm enjoying some mint tea here. And wondering after watching the race, the question is, who wants to see Max Verstappen win the 2022 World Championship? And I think the answer may not be in this order, but the answer, I think, is Charles Leclerc and Scuderia Ferrari. After two back-to-back strong victories, it is back to what Dr. Mark said to me in a text message, pasta in the pan. In musical terms, Ferrari and Leclerc are on the Great King program. Our love's in jeopardy. And how are things for Mr. Rogers in Cali?
Everything is wonderful here at the Palatial Studios, sir. We manage and we continue and fight for victories as well. But yes, we have bizarreness and strangeness, sort of. I mean, they're just people, Nasser. But very interesting. But you got to ask yourself, is Max Verstappen going to be champion for many years? Or is there going to be a changing of the guard? And it's going to be back to Lewis pretty soon because Mercedes is climbing that little ladder.
Yes, sir. You know, the Sunday was really amazing. Ferrari on pole, but not a prancing horse on the podium. And these screams of no, unfortunately, become quite common from Leclerc. Few years ago, it was said he is one of the few drivers, and I totally agree with that, who can give Max a run for the money. But if he keeps slipping on the spaghetti sauce, it will be very hard to become Ferrari's first champion since 2007. And you know, there are two other drivers who can give Max a run for the money. One is, of course, your favorite, Lewis Carl Hamilton, and the other is El Machismo. But El Machismo, nobody will give him, put him in the right car. So that's pretty sad. But that's just the way it goes. And the question, will Max win the championship? That question to me was answered as soon as we saw how the Mercedes were going in the opening round. It's very hard to beat this guy. And like I've said, to beat this guy, you really need a car that's half a second faster and very, very reliable. And what is happening here, sad part is, Ferrari has the car and the driver to take the championship. There's no question about that. But it's just too many mistakes here, there, under pressure. I mean, the guy did a tremendous job when Max was all over him in the early goings. And then he was even able to pull out over a second so Max cannot use the DRS. But, you know, once Max tries to undercut you, you know, the heat is on. The heat is on as long as he's running. Who knows? And, you know, there is a school of thought that he did not make a mistake. It was a throttle issue because that word was used. And later he said he was talking about it and he was trying to reverse. Who knows what the truth is? They are really, not that Max needs any help to win a world championship. Maybe he did last year in the final race, but I don't think he needs much help this year. But if Ferrari is going to offer him help and victory, it's not just a victory, it's victory, 25 points, and zilcho, zippo, nada for the challenger. And that hurts so bad. What say you?
Well, it's absolutely unbelievable, but you're right. And that's why I question, is Leclerc, I think his drivability and everything is great, but he does he have the mentality up against Max Verstappen? Max is pretty tough psychologically. If you're a little sensitive, like Leclerc, I don't know. It's just one of those things. But don't worry, LCH will be back up there fighting in a couple of weeks. Leclerc will fade away.
I cannot wait for Lewis Hamilton to win a race. And I also would love to see, if possible, Max get 15 wins this season, which may or may not happen. But, you know, where we are in our age, Mr. Rogers, let's see as many records as we can do. And as long as the best man is winning, we are not going to be reaching out for Kleenex boxes, if you know what I mean. Okay, now shall we do a quickie on Colly?
That's my favorite, Pedro.
Okay, pole number 16 for Charles Leclerc put him third on the all-time pole winners for Ferrari, behind Niki Lauda at 23, and of course the Red Baron, Michael Schumacher, numero uno with 58 pole positions. 58 pole positions with one team, very, very impressive. Max sharing the front row. And this was a surprise. Potty Mouth made it to Q3, and that was very, very impressive. You know, man, this guy, Yuki Tsunoda, he's very quick. I have to say, he's not learning as far as the full weekend is concerned. Maybe he needs to spend a year again in Formula 2, learn how to finish races, and then come back. But we will see how it goes. And as far as the Mercedes cars are concerned, you were saying that they are climbing the ladder, which is very true, but they are still suffering from cat scratch fever. They have upward mobility, but still no threat to the Dutch nobility and Scuderia Ferrari. What I am really hoping, Mr. Rogers, is to have a full rein race, and that will be his best chance to grab a win, because I would hate to see him go a season without a one, you know, without one victory. He is the only driver so far who has won a race in every season he has competed. So we don't want that record to be tarnished by a package that's in the doghouse. What say you?
I'm sure that Fernando will let him by if that happens, and just to get that win, because Fernando is very sensitive. I mean, I don't know if you've noticed lately that Lewis Hamilton is admitting that Fernando is indeed machismo. And that was very bizarre. I think as they're getting older, they know that they're all going to the same old folks' home and they want to be more Gentile.
Well, obviously, he's not going to say Max. And I saw that also with much interest. But it's obvious, he's racing against Max. Max took his championship, the crown, so he's not going to say Max. But as far as Alonso pulling over in the rain to let Lewis win, that would be very kind of him. And I think that's what he did in the heavy rain at Fujiyama Circuit in 2007. Thank you very much. Okay, sir, let's take a look at the race. Okay, let's see what attracted you or what fascinated you in the opening laps. Good start by Leclerc and a spirited start by Mr. Harry Winston in car number 44. But after four laps, LCH was almost 4 seconds down to Max in second, who was hustling the prancing horse just ahead of him. Lap 8, Perez gets a track limit warning while in pursuit of LCH. Did you like the start? Anything surprised you? Anything caught your attention, Senor?
It was an awesome start. Fernando once again flashes the big M for machismo. I'm telling you, eventually I think he's going to drive for BMW and M Power. But it was awesome. Great start for Leclerc. Yeah, I'm telling you, Leclerc was doing well the weekend until lap 18, and then kaput day.
Well, this was my thinking at that time. First 10 laps of this race proved you don't need a million league changes and competition cautions to have an exciting race. Because even if the race had gone till the end with Max all over Charles Leclerc trying to pass and he could not, That to me is a race. That, hey, you tried every which way, but man ahead kept you at bay. So that's very, very good. And Max was applying the pressure in the early goings like an Amway salesman or a Jehovah Witness who wouldn't stop knocking on the door. And I'm sure you've experienced that.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, okay, Mr. PC host. Thank you very much. Lap 13, Carlito gets into the points after starting from back of the grid. Man, this hombre put in a very good performance this weekend, I have to say. Lap 15, Charles was outside the DRS zone and over 1.5 seconds ahead of Mighty Max. Checo was also out of the DRS zone to take third from LCH. Scuderia was talking to Charles for Plan B, whatever that was. I am sure that Plan B was not going to the barriers. Lap 16, Max in the pits. What was your take on that?
Not quite sure. I just thought the timing was odd. But I'm sure he was complaining and crying on the tele. So they gave him a new pair of tennis shoes. But what do I know? What do I really know?
Well, when he went into the pits, I was surprised too. But then, you know, anytime he goes in, you know that it's going to be very close when the race leader comes in. But he didn't have to wait for that. Two laps later on lap 18, El Crescio for race leader Charles. Nose in at Bose, as Julian Palmer called it. Bose is one of the corners there. And my instant reaction was, you know, when Didier Pironi had his accident in practice for the German Grand Prix at Hockenheim, when he had a pretty decent lead in the championship, when Signor Enzo Ferrari was told about it, his first words were, in Italian of course, but English version was, there goes the championship. And that's what I thought when I saw Charles. And I said, man, what a championship gift to the Max Factor. And then, keeping up with the tradition, the second Ferrari was released in front of another car. That was a very, very close call. Did you see that? I'm sure you saw that, Mr. Rogers.
Yes. So what you saw was slipping, falling on the Marinara in the paddock. And they knew they couldn't let that other car go by first. And they panicked and let him out. They almost touched. It looked like they touched. But yeah, I mean, penalty all over the place. You knew it. And I don't know what's going on, but they make Sainz Jr. work harder than James Brown, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, at this time, the new world order behind safety car was Max and LCH second, Perez, Russell, and Machismo in Cinco de Julio. Green means go on lap 20. Carlito was slicing through and within two laps passed his compadre to get into top 5. Lap 30, very impressive pass for fourth by Carlito, going on the outside of Russell in the very fast scene corner, which is at the end of the long Mistral straight. Lap 42, rinse and repeat for Carlito, even more impressive passing Perez after a tremendous battle. Man, I'll tell you, Perez sometimes puts on a very good competition. He has done that with Lewis a few times, and it was very good to see neat and clean, no argy-bargy competition. And this was my favorite of the race. George tried a Van McCoy do the hustle on Checo, but that did not work out. And then he was rattling quite a bit on the team radio, despite the team not agreeing with him on his botched attempt in passing Perez. Toto got on the team radio to tell him to keep his head down and hunt him down. Never a good idea to howl at your boss, especially if he's a wolf. And do you remember when some years ago, I think it was Imola, when Russell crashed with Bottas, and Bottas' Mercedes seat was in jeopardy in those days, and Russell made some comment, and Toto read him the riot act. You remember that?
Of course, one of my favorite parts. But he read the riot act in German.
Yes. Oh, yes. When the riot act is read in German, you know they mean very serious business.
Jawohl, mein Herr.
10 laps to go, Carlito in the pits to serve his 5-second penalty and new sets of medium. Now there is a school of thought that they should have not done that. Team saying they did the right thing. What does the host with the most say?
Most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life.
Why do you say that?
Well, he has been working so hard coming up from last. He could have finished the race on those tires. I don't know what's going on. I mean, he did go in the mediums, which gave him a fighting chance, but you got to count how many laps are left before that fighting chance fizzles. I don't want to talk about Marinara anymore.
No, I agree with you. I think that if they had left him there, which is what he wanted, then maybe he would have lost a place or two. But by pitting him, it was for sure robbing him of the spot he was in. But this was still much better than bringing Lewis into the pits in Monte Carlo with few laps to go for a tire change. I mean, that was absolutely ridiculous. But even the best make mistakes. Okay, top five at this stage. Max, LCA, Checo, Russell, and Machismo, and both McLaren Papaya cars were in the points. Lap 48, Carlito passes Machismo for the second time to get into the top five. Now, Mr. Rogers, obviously nobody can be as big of a fan of Nando as you are, but as a fan of motor racing, I like all talented drivers, as you know. And he is far beyond just a talented driver. It's disheartening to see somebody of his caliber fighting to stay in the top five and no chance of getting on the podium. What do you feel about that, Senor?
A lot of crying. There's a lot of tears flowing in the Palatial Studios. But we must accept that no one wants to see Fernando win. So no one will give him the package. And therefore, it's impressive. Right now, they're competitive. Renault is competitive with McLaren, but that's not enough. He's running out of time. The clock is ticking. Do you know what I'm talking about? So it's sad, but at least he's sharing his talent with the rest of the field, and it's fun to watch him. And I'm just cherishing these final hours.
Yes. With less than 5 laps to go, Guan Yu Zhou did a Chinese takeout, which brought out the VSC, Virtual Safety Car. And this was I was shell-shocked, I don't know about the driver. At the restart, Russell caught Checo in a Siesta to grab podium finish position. Perez tried to pounce on Russell a few times, but happily there was no body slamming. Fair fight to the finish, and Checo had to settle for fourth. Were you surprised that George was able to shell-shock him at the restart?
Well, I was surprised because Checo was obviously sleeping and I've done this, you know, when you drop your in-flight burrito, not cool, dude. It was pretty funny. Dr. Marco thought it was pretty funny.
Dr. Marco finds something funny?
Yes.
Well, yeah, you know, every time I read his comments about Pierre Gasly, I said, you know, this guy is a nice guy. The comments range from he would not look at his own shortcomings, do something like he was trying to reinvent the car every weekend. But, you know, that's the way it goes. Okay, sir. Winner, charge of the Bull Brigade, saw Max take his 7th win of the season and number 27 of his career, matching Sir Jackie Stewart. Back-to-back wins for him now at Paul Ricard, and with Leclerc out, it's looking very good for back-to-back championships. For the Dutch master, he is now 63 points ahead of Ferrari Ace. Gee, this was what, like, we're not even summer break has not even started. He has gone from being over 40 points down after the first few races to 63 points ahead. So I think the dishes are done for Scuderia and Schall, but still a lot of racing to go. But see, one advantage you have is if somebody puts on the turbocharger and starts winning races, you can do what Nico Rosberg did. Just finish second and you will be world champion. So we will see. Second, oh, this was interesting. LCH, fifth podium of the season and second place in the race, is the best of the season for seven-time world champion. He was on the floor in the green room, perhaps exhausted from the heat, not only from the French Riviera, but also from his new teammate, and most of all, not having the cooking oil to deliver wins after wins, as in days of yore. Nevertheless, one of the greatest racing talents we have seen in Formula One. Next round is in Budapest, where he has won many times, and I'm sure he will be very hungry to get his first win of the season. And sir, his podium was 187th podium for him, and that in 300 races is simply marvelous. And he now joins names like Fernando Alonso, Rubens Barrichello, Michael Schumacher in starting 300 races. That's very, very impressive. And hopefully in the next 2 years, he can pass the record holder in this field, which is Kimi Raikkonen, with 350 starts. And now there is chatter on the web that Lewis may sign a long-term contract with Toto and Mercedes, meaning long-term meaning more than 2 years. So we will see how this thing works out. And there was a comment from, I think it was from Toto, that people want him to get championship number 8. Why not number 10? So we'll see. Third man on the podium, Russell. Very feisty performance brought him his fourth podium of the season. One has to wonder if he would have been world champion had Toto shown the door to Bottas a few years earlier. Time will tell if this could have been the case when Mercedes once again has the best Akash. And I would really like to see how he can go against Lewis, or Lewis go against him, when they have the best Akash. And that's when fireworks will erupt, as with Nico Rosberg in 2016. And sir, it will be a shame, and it looks like the dishes are done for the French Grand Prix, and it will be dropped from the calendar for next season. I say there has to be a race in the land where it all started in 2016. I'm sorry, in 1906. But in today's world, money speaks louder than what you call old the memories. And this is really beginning to piss me off, because now I'm hearing not only Paul Ricard will go, but also Spa-Francorchamps, and we're going to have a Grand Prix in the hotbed of motorsport called Qatar and South Africa. And I don't have anything against these places. South Africa does have a very rich racing heritage, but do they really need to drop? And like Eric Bouyer say, even the word Grand Prix comes from France. So this will be very, very sad. How does that make you feel, Mr. Rogers?
What can I do? I've gone through this how many times? I'm sick of it. And now I'm reading that they don't want to go to racetracks anymore. They want to go to city centers. They want to go downtown.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go downtown. When you've got worries, all the noise and the hurry seems to help, I know. Downtown, just listen to the music of the traffic in the city. Linger on the sidewalk where the neon signs are pretty. How can you lose? The light's so much brighter there. You can't forget all your troubles, forget all your cares, so go downtown.
Yeah, why don't you just join Formula E?
That's the talk as well. Formula One will become Formula E. They're just going to use a bigger E.
Okay, fourth was Perez. He had an off weekend, I would say, but still well in the points. which is not bad compared to other puppies who tried to play with Max. Fifth, Carlos Sainz Jr. He gained one extra point by setting the fastest lap, and I think that was done with two laps to go. Carlito's case was what could have been had he not been given a grid penalty before the race, and I think he could have fought for victory, but you know, that's the way it goes. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, you know, like we see, we're used to seeing Red Bull take a bold move and come out with a strategy that surprises everybody, and then Max goes on to win. It's been a while since we've seen Ferrari do that. They have done that a few times, but victory has gone to the other team. So I don't know what it will be happening, what will be happening with them the rest of the season. Anyway, Sainz is ninth in the championship with 46 points. And who is right behind him, Mr. Rogers?
El Machismo de España.
Compadre Alonso. Man, this guy made his F1 debut over 20 years ago. Since then, he has shot down the Red Baron, won incredible races like Imola and Valencia. But in 2007, he ran into a brick wall and faced mighty, mighty competition. And things have never been the same for him. As I said, it is very disheartening to see such a talent wasted in a package that is not even second best. I mean, what is it, third best?
It's eighth best, but with Fernando, he picks it up a notch.
Oh, the 6th, 10th?
There you go, Machismo.
El Machismo has scored points in the last 7 races, which is nice. Best finish of the season so far. Well, look at this. Best finish of the season for a man who dethroned Michael Schumacher was 5th at Silverstone. He is now 10th in the championship with 37 points, and that is 9 points behind Valtteri Bottas, driving not a Mercedes, but a Sauber Alfa Romeo. Very good. Very sad. I really think he should retire gracefully and give the seat to Oscar Piastri, come to USA, do some Indy 500, Daytona 24 hours. If he's driving a 4-powered car, maybe he should try NASCAR for a 14. And if he's not winning, he can say, Pinto engine, Pinto engine, ha!
Very good, very good.
You're quite Mr. Rogers.
What can I say? I've been dealing with this kind of criticism and mockery for what? How many years now?
Well, he had some, you know what is amazing? Well, of course you remember the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix 2010. I cannot believe they brought him into the pits along with Mark Webber. I mean, just, and the guy who did that, Chris Dyer, it cost him his job. But people know the score. Everybody knows how good this guy is. So it's not mockery. It's just a little fun at your expense. That's all.
Bravo.
And you have thick skin, right?
Indeed.
That's good. Okay, sir. 7th, Lando Norris. He was 7th in Austria and finished in same position in Francia. Once again, he had the upper hand on teammate Daniel Ricciardo in Corian race. Lando's only podium finish was at Imola in 3rd. He has a long-term contract with McLaren, and hopefully he will win races in our lifetime. 8. Esteban Ocon, only French driver to be in the points. His only top 5 finish of the season so far came in the previous race at the Red Bull Ring. And he is, at this time of his career, a one-hit wonder like Kubica and our favorite Jean Alesi. But it must not be forgotten, he is the man who beat Max Verstappen in the European F3 Championship when they were 2 youths. Now, he has some resemblance to my cousin Vinny, and that's because he has Algerian and Spanish background. So you can call him, you know, muy macho hombre de Francia. 9th is another sad story, Daniel Ricciardo. What can I say about the situation? The team keeps signing and testing new drivers. On the other hand, the driver keeps reminding everybody, I have a contract for 2023. Once upon a time, Kimi had a contract with Ferrari and Paul Tracy had a contract with Penske. And both were shown the door in a trifle polite way after being advised, your services are no longer required. In the 12 races so far this season, and here is the reason why Zach Brown has ants in his pants. In the 12 races so far this season, Honey Badger has delivered points in only 5 races. Okay? In the championship, he is 12th with 19 points, while teammate Lando Norris is 7th with 70 points. You know, one thing I just don't understand, and it's easy to understand, I've never sat in a race car, let alone drive one, why talented drivers like him and Mark Webber get into a situation where the teammate is winning races or doing very well and they just cannot adapt to the car. Because the hallmark of a great driver is they are like chameleon. They can adapt to a changing track, changing car very quickly. But do you think there's more to that with Daniel Ricciardo here, or it's just car is still... I find it hard to believe that the car is tailor-made to Lando Norris's requirement. How do you look at this situation, sir?
I think it's a crappy car. I mean, let's just face it. Some people adapt better at crappy cars, and we know that. We've seen it for years and years and years. Norris is doing a great job, but Norris, if he had a great car, would be doing an even better job because he's a very good driver. And we know Ricciardo is very, very good. So let's face it, it's a crappy car. Zach Brown doesn't want to admit to it, but I see through all the paint and the grays and the blacks. Crappy car.
Okay. Dr. Marco, who spotted Danny's talents and brought him into Formula One, was recently quoted as saying leaving Red Bull was his biggest mistake, claiming the Aussie mate was as quick as Max, just had to be more consistent. With no good seats available, Ricciardo has put himself in the situation of being Alonso of Australia. Maybe Zach Brown can move him to his IndyCar team. Hard to believe what has come of the driver who rattled the cage of four-time world champion and went 3-0 against Sebastian Vettel at Red Bull. Very, very surprising. 10th. Lance Stroll, he has finished in the points 4 times this season, each time in the same position, 10th. On Sunday, he held off a strong challenge from his teammate, the aforementioned Seb, to take 1 point. Some are calling for his head to roll at Aston Martin, but blood is thicker than the opinions of racing pundits. Lance Stroll may not be Senna of Canada, but you don't get to be on pole position and podium in Formula 1 by being Milka Juno of Montreal. Sir, I have a question for you. I think his seat is pretty safe as long as Daddy owns the team. Do you think Seb will be at Aston Martin and in Formula One next season? And if the answer is no, who do you think will replace him?
Believe it or not, I think Lance Stroll is out. It looks silly. Vettel is in for next year. Trust me, it's happening. Speaking of El Machismo, he is in next year alongside Piastri. Ocon goes back to becoming a sous-chef at La Tour d'Argent.
Any other comments on the race, sir?
No, it was exciting except for one person, Leclerc. You had to feel for him, and he's like a wounded little puppy. You just want to give him a hug and say, come on, man. Come on, man. And, of course, we know what they need to do. If Ferrari can't have a win in Hungary, it's over, over, over. And Max has already called LCH's cabinet maker. And you know what that means, Nasser.
Absolutely. It's called Lucky Charm and Lucky Lady with me every race, every season.
On that note, Nas, of course, we need to quench our thirst. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back after we guzzle down a couple of Pabst Blue Ribbons.
Imagine for a moment that you're in the gay 90s, headed for an evening at the best spot in town.
Bartender, 3 more Blue Ribbons.
Imagine you're here to enjoy the great premium beer of the day, Pabst Blue Ribbon.
More Pabst.
Pabst was brewed for people who really liked beer.
3 more Blue Ribbons. Bartender.
This was the time Pabst was the beer. And now that you've imagined what the gay 90s were like, you know what our beer is all about. Good old-time flavor. original Pabst Blue Ribbon beer is still brewed today the old-time premium way by the first of the great Milwaukee brewers.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. In now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the Sultan himself, Nasser Hamid.
Yes, sir, thank you. And we're going to stay in your Shangri-La, Paul Ricard, for the F2 event, sprint race on Saturday. This was a case of curry in a hurry, spiced up by kiwi in a hurry. It was looking like smooth sailing for Jahan Daruwala from Mumbai, as he dominated most of the race. Then came a caution, but he did not cry over spilt milk, as Liam Lawson from New Zealand grabbed the lead and took his second win of the season. Biggest smile on the podium belonged to local garçon in third place, Theo Pourchaire, but he got a penalty, so he lost his third place. Liam is a Red Bull junior and last year won on debut in this series. Sunday's feature race saw a young man from Boca Raton FLA start from pole position, Logan Sargeant, but he was not to finish the race. Victory went to Japanese driver Ayumu Iwasa, and this is his first win in the series. Theo Pourchaire was second, and Denmark's Frederik Westey, who is a Toto Wolfpack member, he was third. And Mr. Rogers, Willy Weber, the man who discovered, paid for, and managed Michael Schumacher, is now 80 years old and hurting in his heart. He has never been allowed to see his ex-client and friend, and Mrs. Corinna Schumacher will not return his calls. La Gazzetta dello Sport is a well-known Italian newspaper, and Weber is quoted as saying, and I quote here, "It was a huge pain for me. I tried hundreds of times to contact Corinna, and she didn't answer. I called Jean Todt to ask him if I should go to the hospital, and he told me to wait. It's too early. I called the next day and no one answered. I didn't expect behavior like that, and I'm still angry about it. They kept me out, telling me it's too early. Well, now it's too late. It's been 9 years. Maybe they should say it the way it is. I could understand the situation initially, as I always did everything I could for Michael to protect his private life. But since then, we have heard lies from them." End quote. It's a very sad situation with what happened to Michael, and it's amazing how such a close and strong relationship could end up like this. But you know, even Rubens Barrichello was not allowed to visit Michael. He was told by Schumacher management it will not do him or Michael any good. And you know, about a year or two, I was reading an interview with Mr. Weber. And at that time, he said what had happened is when he was first informed of Michael's accident, he did not think it was something serious. So he did not call back for a couple of days. And I think that's where Schumacher's wife got pissed off. And also, you know, when he rejoined Formula One with Mercedes, William Weber was advising him not to do, "You have nothing to prove." And so maybe that pretty much started the end of their association. But it's always sad when you see these things. But you know what they say, nothing is forever, okay? So we have to move on. Some even more sad news, Paddy Hopkirk has passed away. He was a rally driver, and you know, I was more interested in rallying before I discovered the wonders of F1 in 73. So very familiar with this name. His claim to fame was winning the Monte Carlo Rally in a Mini, and interestingly, he was from Northern Ireland, and at one time he owned a property in England, and one of the gentlemen renting from him was a Scottish chap by the name of Jim Clark, and I'm sure you've heard of him.
Never.
Okay. Now, before we go to famous last words, Mr. Rogers, as we are coming to the end of Motorsports Mondial, let me ask you your favorite question. Who's going to win in Hungary?
Well, we know who's going to win in Hungary. The man that's machismo who's gotten his first win in Hungary, who likes to play games in Hungary. You never know. He might even block LCH a couple of times. Memories. Oh, the memories.
Thanks for the memory of sentimental verse. Nothing in my purse. And chuckles when the preacher said, for better or for worse.
How lovely it was. Thanks for the memory of Schubert's serenade. Little things of jade and traffic jams and anagrams and bills we never paid.
How lovely it was.
Yep. There's going to be a lot of Fernando. They're going to talk about Fernando. And now that he's got more laps than anybody in the world or in the universe, it's awesome.
Yes. You know, if Max wins, if he gets a 70-point lead, it's over. That's for sure. Okay, Ferrari has to do something where they both cars are finishing 1-2 in 3 or 4 of the next 5 races. But given their track record and pit record, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't know what the weather is going to be, but I would love to see Lewis win this race. That would be fantastic. I don't think it's going to happen unless it's raining. But something tells me Carlos Sainz may surprise everybody. But we'll see. Okay, sir. Oh, you know, I forgot to mention there were 2 IndyCar races at Iowa. And Joseph Newgarden, he won the first race, dominated the first race, and he was doing the same in the second race, but then he had a big crash. He was hurt, but hopefully he's okay now. They had to take him to the hospital. And the second race was, one race was a 250-miler, the other was a 300-miler. And the second race was won by Patrick Ward, who is part of the McLaren entourage. Did you watch any of the oval racing, sir?
Yes, I did.
Did you enjoy?
No, I didn't. 300 laps in Iowa. I mean, how much corn can somebody consume?
Yeah, well, you know, my niece is moving to Iowa, actually next month, I believe. So I told her, you know, I'll pay a visit when there is IndyCar race in the area. So that should be fun. I've been to Iowa. You know, it's a pretty cool place, especially when you don't go there in winter. Have you been to Iowa, sir?
No, don't plan to go. Not going. Zippo, no go to Iowa.
Yeah, I'm planning to go to a lot of races next year. Maybe I'll just become a like Eddie Rabbit, driving my life away, get in my car and drive to races in my retirement days. Because, you know, places like Ohio, Atlanta, they're not too far from here. Especially if you don't have a job, you can indulge in these things. So we'll see how it works out. Okay, sir, today famous last words come from Charles Leclerc. And I quote, "I'm losing too many points. I think 7 in Imola, 25 here, because honestly, we were the strongest car on track today. So yes, if we lose the championship by 32 points at the end of the season, I will know from where they are coming from. And it's unacceptable. I just need to get on top of those things." End quote. Well, it is what it is. Max has a mega lead of 63 points and must be feeling 8 miles high. Which leads into Musical Mondial. Here is Roxy Music version of Bird's High Flying Song. Thank you for listening. Please enjoy. Bye-bye.
Thank you, and thank you, Mr. Ferry. Good night.